Hi, my name's Austin.
Hi, Austin.
And I just want to confess that I think Death of a Salesman is really overrated.
That's good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for
Thank you.
sharing.
Thank you
Thank
for
you.
sharing. Hi, my name's Matt Rippey.
Hi,
Matt
Matt.
Rippey.
And I gotta confess, I've never liked a single Shakespeare play I've ever seen.
Ooh.
That must be hard. That's
That's
hard for
brave
you.
of you to admit that.
Yeah. Hard for you to say.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Reed Martin.
Hi,
Hi,
Reed.
Reed.
And I have to confess, I got into theater because of this girl named Marjorie.
No.
She was really,
No, hang on, no.
really.
Reed, that's not, no, that's not what we're talking about. It's a different kind of confession.
Oh, okay. We'll just edit this out.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 281, Guilty Theatrical Confessions.
Yes, we've all got them.
Yeah.
Some are a little dirty and scarier than others.
Some a little dirtier and more inappropriate than others, but this started again in one of our lengthy car rides, where we started talking about, you know what? I don't even know who started it, but it's been on my craw since I was in college. I think Death of a Salesman is one of the most overrated plays in the history of plays.
Too right. I'm with you on that.
I'm not right. I mean, I'm not wrong.
It's okay.
I mean, I get why it was big back in the day, but it's one of those things I've had a lot of problems with ever since I started studying the history of theater. The minute you tell me something is great and then I go to see it, I'm almost inevitably disappointed.
The RSC sucks then.
Yes. And which RSC are you talking about?
Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Wow, that's pretty tough.
Oh.
I just don't like Death of a Salesman particularly, but sort of Arthur Miller, Eugene O'Neill, generally. I get how
yeah,
they're
well,
pushed.
We saw, you and I both saw Death of a Salesman and Long Day's Journey, and they were good productions, but they're really long, I think. But that brings up the question, were they great in their day? And,
yeah.
and great as a,
yeah.
as a, you know, a classic of theater, but maybe has their time passed? Are people not willing to sit through that anymore? Have we seen it, did it start something that now we go back and look at it and so many things have imitated it that we see everything coming and everything seems redundant?
Right.
You've made this point three times already, we don't need to see that again.
Right, well, yeah, and you've made this point in a 3-hour play that you could have made in a 45-minute play.
Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's why I'm so well suited for the reduced oeuvre.
Watch your language.
Bringing up the question is, what makes a great play great and timeless? What makes it timeless?
Well,
is it inevitable
it needs
that
it to be short?
It needs to be short
point.
And to the point, and get on with it. And I mean, I feel bad for this is the thing. I've always felt bad for feeling this way, but like there are other Arthur Miller plays that I like better than Death of a Salesman.
Mm-hmm.
I like All My Sons. I'm a sucker for All My Sons.
Yeah.
Fred McMurray was great in that.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, and that cranky old Uncle Charlie.
He was really good. And but I also think, and again, this is coming from my bias with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, I think tragedy is a much overrated form.
In a comedy, if nobody laughs,
yeah.
it's not funny.
Yeah.
In a tragedy, if everybody sits there silently,
yeah.
it could be good or bad. We don't know.
Well, it's just there's nothing. Tragedy is inevitable. There's no art to that. I'm sorry, there's just no art to that. There isn't. All right, something.
Oh, keep those emails and letters coming.
You're exactly right.
Comedy is harder.
Yeah, you're right, because it's so easy to just, you know, sympathetic pathos. Just, you know,
yeah.
go, look at this cute little puppy, isn't he cute?
Yeah.
And then just have a Mack truck run him over. Well, of course you're going to go,
yeah.
oh, that's
yeah.
terrible. And you're,
yeah.
But it's like pushing my buttons, you know? I don't want my buttons pushed like that. Be smart, be clever, be funny.
Well, and I also don't want to see characters who don't change. You know, that's admittedly it's all my taste, but there's so frequently when I just feel like I'm trying to read some plays that are being done in regional theaters across the country. I'm reading them and I'm going, really? This is what gets done around the country? They don't feel like plays to me. They feel like neutral scenes. They feel like neutral scenes where it's like, oh, here's some text and here's some characters and leave it to the director and the actor to make it up. I mean,
well,
where's the writing
sort of,
going?
That's
on?
One of my guilty confessions is like, doesn't it seem like a lot of the plays done around the country are simply, they're like claiming to be cutting edge, but shocking to who? To an audience who already believes what you're preaching going in?
Yeah. Well,
you want to do something shocking, do a pro-Republican play.
Yeah, And make it funny, you know?
Or serious.
And blow people's minds.
Or sincere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, pro-Republican, but
I don't happen to be a Republican, yeah. But if you're doing, if it's all play about liberal causes and, you know, again, yes, okay, yes, we all agree. What's cutting edge about that?
Yeah.
Well, okay, now here's my dark, dirty little secret. Yeah. Yes, okay, I don't really like Shakespeare. I think he's overrated. I mean, fine, you can read him, whatever. I've never walked out of a Shakespeare play and gone, oh, wow, got to tell people about that. But here's my other dark, dirty little secret. I don't like musicals. I'm sorry, guys. Am I just not an actor? Am I in the wrong industry?
Yeah. Well, you're not. Well, I've heard you sing, so I can understand why you.
No. I like some musicals.
Yeah. Well,
the
yes,
ones that
exactly.
break all the rules, you know. So Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yeah.
What's
Next to Normal?
Next to Normal. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Make me sound like I know what I'm talking about. Can you just edit
just
that together?
Edit that,
yeah.
Edit that
Next to Normal. Man of La Mancha. That's good because
yeah.
It's interesting, at least it doesn't break many rules, but then again,
But it had an interesting meta-theatrical conceit to it.
Yeah, and the songs aren't, normal. They've got those messed up rhythms, there's six eights and stuff like that.
I get why people don't like musicals. I mean, my wife and I bonded on our very first date over the fact that we love musicals, but we hate musical theater people.
Right. Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's not fair. But, you know, there's so many divas in the theatrical world, you know, and a lot of them are in musicals. We're tarring everybody with an unnecessarily broad brush.
Right.
But you're talking about you don't like Shakespeare. I also have the same problem with Chekhov. Mm-hmm. When Reed and I were at Berkeley, they did a season-long festival of Chekhov plays and one-acts, and I just sat through one boring three-hour production after another, and I just went, oh, just shut up and go to Moscow. Just shut up and go to Moscow. I mean, there's the famous story that Chekhov wrote comedies, and then Stanislavski, his original director, directed tragedies. And Chekhov's going, no, that's not what I wrote, you son of a bitch. So I wonder how many, you know, so much is due to the productions, too, I have to think. Because Dee and I on our honeymoon saw Pericles starring Nigel Terry at the Royal Shakespeare Company in Stratford. You would think that was Shakespeare's greatest play.
Right.
Because it was just great. I mean, I think so many theaters, they program Shakespeare, particularly the theater companies with Shakespeare in their name, not reduced, but others,
right.
You know, so they have to go through the canon or whatever. So they do it, but they don't have a good actor. There's not a reason to do it other than we need to.
Mm.
So you've got to have a reason. As a directing teacher at BU used to say, if you're going to stage a vehicle, you better get a driver. You know, there better be a driving reason to do it other than just we've got to put it on the schedule. But Reed Martin, you had a confession about musicals too. There's a famous musical theater composer that you don't care for.
I don't care for, in general, a lot of Sondheim stuff.
I don't think Stephen Sondheim listens to this podcast, so I think we're all right.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
I like his early funnier work.
Yeah. Yep. I do too.
I feel like I must be a heel because a lot of really people who know a lot more about music than I do really love Sondheim, but I'm not. I mean, I did study music, but
yeah.
It's just my taste. I don't know. It just doesn't. A lot of his stuff just doesn't do much for me. Now I love West Side Story. I love Gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
I love Forum.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I haven't seen Assassins. I think I might like that.
Mm-hmm.
But stuff like Follies and Company and Merrily We Roll Along just don't do a lot for me. I just don't. They just have a very sort of. And it's not depressing. I like a good depressing movie. I think a lot of unsympathetic characters or characters who are just seem so self-involved. Something bad's happening. Good. You deserve it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Well, I mean, I love and admire Sondheim, but I finally saw Follies for the first time last year and on Broadway, and it was a really great production. And I sat there going, oh, I see why it's not done more. It's not that it's a difficult show. It's that it's a downer and nothing happens for 3 hours. That's not true. You see a bunch of great individual numbers, but all in the service of a story where it's basically a three-hour marital spat set to music, and then they end up going home together anyway. So, okay, well, where have we gone? We've just watched, You know, is that what I want to see with my hard-earned Broadway money? Speaking of somebody who's in a marriage, who's had a marital spat, really? I mean, at least the songs were a hell of a lot better than in the spats, marital spats that I've been in. And so, and for that I like. But I do love Assassins. I think Assassins is a very cool piece, and I like a little night music, and I love the score for Merrily We Roll Along. But again, yes, at the end of it, I really love Sunday in the Park. I think that is about art in all the greatest ways.
Now, you had an interesting observation about Into the Woods compared to another classic off-Broadway musical.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I've loved both of Stephen Sondheim's collected book of lyrics, Finishing the Hat and Look, I Made a Hat. They're just amazing books about what he likes about his craft and how he approaches it, et cetera, et cetera. But one thing he didn't talk about, and it really surprises me, because I saw, as you're saying, Into the Woods. And Into the Woods, the story of Into the Woods is basically the same story as The Fantastics, a musical from the late 1950s, early 1960s, about where basically the theme, the plot is what happens after Happily Ever After isn't Happily Ever After. And that's the point of Into the Woods. That's the point of Into the Woods. And at the end of Into the Woods, I went, really? That's it? That's what? And also, again, I saw it in previews. In fairness, I saw it in previews on Broadway. And when they finally got to the thing, watch what you're saying, children will listen. I went, really? Now I've got to take child raising tips from Stephen Sondheim and a bunch of these hateful characters who are only now getting around to the idea that you should watch what you do because children will listen? Really? That's where we've come to? I want to arrive at some conclusion that I didn't have coming in.
Yeah.
But also, then in Sunday in the Park, the second act opens with a song called It's Hot Up Here. The characters in the painting are stuck. It's hot up here. It's hot and it's monotonous. Well, there's a song, the second act of The Fantastics opens with It's Hot Up Here. I mean, I've never seen anybody talk about this.
Hi, I'm Howard Sherman, noted theatrical pundit and raconteur, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSE? This spring and summer of 2012, you'll be able to RSC us in 34 cities in the U.S. and the U.K., including cities like Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, York, Buxton, Exeter, Newbury, Nottingham, Truro, Poole, Tunbridge Wells, Peterborough, Canterbury, Derby, Hereford, Rhyl, Barnsley, Salford, Basingstoke, Crawley, where we hope to meet Lord and Lady Grantham, Bedford, Tewkesbury, and London, returning to the Arts Theatre. And for a short time only, the Arts Theatre in London is selling a reduced number of tickets per performance for the special London Olympics 2012 price of 2012. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now we return to our confessions, particularly Matt's, about musicals.
And they don't push the envelope musicals. I mean, how often do they push the envelope?
It depends the envelope they're pushing. I mean, like, Phantom of the Opera had moving scenery.
Ooh.
Spider-Man has people flying around.
Yeah, ooh, how exciting.
Spider-Man is pushing the edge of people, actors not making it through the show. I think that is pushing the envelope.
They're literally pushing them over the edge of the envelope.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think there are like four ideas in musical theater. And then everything is just a rehashing.
Boy right? meets girl, the Jesus story, right, yeah. Coming of age.
Completely Hollywood abridged, folks,
and
the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Fish out of water.
I was thinking more along the lines of steal from a movie, steal from a cartoon,
yeah.
Steal from a book, steal from yourself.
Yes. Further confessions, theatrical confessions, continued. Reed Martin.
Yeah. One of the goals of my life has been to see live or be in all 37 plays of the Shakespearean canon. I'm about two-thirds of the way through that.
That's a fantastic thing. Why is that a guilty confession?
Well, you know, I've been into Shakespeare for so long, and I spent about 20 years, you know, reading the plays, reading Shakespeare biographies, right. Reading commentary on the plays. And right now, I'm in a place where I kind of think he's overrated. And I hope, yeah. I'm sure, I'll come out the other side. But right now I go, you know, yeah, Hamlet, great. You know, Midsummer, great. Kind of wordy, kind of long. And then there's a lot of other ones where I go, oh, yeah, no, I don't really, Yeah, yeah. I guess in my quest to see all 37 plays, I better go see King John. But
really? How driven am I to do this? I know. Well,
and that's kind of a guilty confession.
But yeah, I can see how that would be guilty. But but I don't think you've ever professed. I don't think any of us have ever professed that William Shakespeare, yes, every word that came out of his mouth was a pearl, you know, or under out of his pen.
Well,
you know,
the difficulty is that maybe they were pearls, but they were pearls hundreds of years ago, and now
maybe now they're just pearls before we swine. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes us the swine. But I mean, I think that even the greatest Shakespeare scholars wouldn't try to argue with you that they're all great. But how much of that do you think is because of bad productions, as we were talking about earlier?
I've seen, you know, I haven't seen a whole bunch of bad production. Yeah. I saw a lot of stuff at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. They do fantastic work there. I've seen stuff in the National Theater. I've seen that other RSC that stole our initials, the Royal Shakespeare Company, the ones we're suing. Yeah. They've done, you know, I've seen stuff there. It's great. The Shakespeare Theater in Washington. I've seen Shakespeare at Berkeley Rep at American you know, so, well, yes, I have seen some bad productions. I've made some productions bad, but but it's not. And I'm not saying he's terrible, but I'm just right now I'm kind of like over him.
But part of that is I think part of what you're reacting to. I think part of what we're all reacting to, just in talking in this conversation, is that we're tired of drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, we're tired of having to believe that the emperor is dressed in a fine new raiment. You know, I think it's okay to say that the emperor's not wearing any clothes.
Well, and I want to say this too. You're hearing this podcast and you're saying those three guys are full of crap. Shakespeare is a genius. Sondheim is a genius. Yeah. Musicals are great. And you know what? You're right. We're just as full of crap as everybody else.
Well, you know what? More so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Piled higher and deeper.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your guilty theatrical confessions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to Webmaster Matt Rippey, Father Confessor Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Becca Kittredge. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Howard Sherman. If you want more theatrical opinions, follow his excellent blog at hesherman.com or on Twitter @hesherman. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 281/843 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Okay, here's my most recent little confession to make. I love Downton Abbey.
That's a whole different podcast. We've all drunk the Downton Kool-Aid.
And in closing, we said goodbye this week to Levon Helm, a sometime actor from such movies as Coal Miner's Daughter and The Right Stuff, but most notably the drummer and sometime vocalist for The Band. Here's my final theatrical confession. I don't ever want to see another production of Hamlet unless they have Levon Helm singing the band's classic Ophelia in it.
Both on the window, a mail by the door, a while with
podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.